Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and it's July 27th, 2022. Thanks for listening today. You may not be listening today. We know a lot of people listen on the archives, and we archive all the shows at our home website, which is ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Go over there. Everything we do is over there. We're the American Consortium for Equity in Education, and Education Talk Radio is a part of that, and you'll see an icon for PASS, and that'll have every podcast we've ever done. So please go over there. It's a long, long list, and listen to whatever you want, whatever strikes your fancy on that particular day. Maybe it'll be this one to listen again. Okay. Well, by the way, we got Pat Rickards today. Pat is a good friend of ours. I'm so glad he's back as CEO of the Driving Force Institute. It's one of the nation's largest video resources for U.S. history content. And I just love having Pat on. It's been too darn long. They've received awards from AASL and also an award for their partnership with the American Battlefield Trust. He's going to tell us all about it. If you're a social studies teacher or involved at all in teaching social studies at any particular point, you can get a real charge and good listen out of today's show. Over at ace-ed.org, we have our awards program for excellence in equity. That's winding down, but you can still nominate yourself. There's an awards icon, teacherretention.com. We're really concerned. Check out what we're doing and the professional development we offer at teacher-retention.com. SELtoday.org covers a little resource hall for SEL products and services. Please check it all out. Again, our magazine is over there, Equity and Access Pre-K-12. New issue being put together right now, but the current one's pretty darn good. Just click on the cover of the magazine. It's dash-ed.org. All right, enough of my incredible infomercial there. Let's bring Pat on. And Pat might have a guest with him. I'm not sure. Hey, Pat, you there? It's Larry.
I am. Good day, Larry. How are you doing?
I'm fine, buddy. How's life in Florence, South Carolina today?
We're doing well. It's hot, but it's good.
Yeah, it's always hot. Did you bring a guest with you? I have two lines open. Do you have
no,
a guest
just,
with you?
No, just me today. No, sir.
So I'm going to close. There we go. Thank you very much. Now you're still there, right? There you go. I'm just going to shut down that line. I didn't know what was going on, and I couldn't figure it out. So we're in good shape. Congrats. I just want to make a note here. DrivingForceInstitute.org, UntoldHistory.org, best digital tool for teaching and learning, all right, according to the AASL, American Association of School Libraries, and a recent award, a Telly Award, for a partnership with the American Battlefield Trust, whatever that is. Let's hear it. What's the American Battlefield Trust? And congratulations on the award. Tell me what's going on, Pat.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Larry. No, I appreciate it. American Battlefield Trust is a wonderful nonprofit, and you know, they are what their name seems. When you look at the battlefields around the American Civil War as well as the American Revolution, you know they've spent decades now preserving those fields. So you think about it. You take a group of students over to Gettysburg, or you take them, that sort of thing. That's what they've done. And we're really excited by the partnership we've had with them. They're a tremendous organization. They do a lot of great education work. And they had come to us because they were realizing, with all that they produce, they will take you. They'll give you a video tour if you can't make it to one of the battlefields.
Oh, wow. That's good to know.
Most of what they do is on the East Coast. They do these long video tours with terrific historians. And they came to us as they looked. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say that's an interesting point. You're absolutely right. I never thought about that. But battlefields in American history, battles that occurred on American soil, okay, our country, yep. United States soil, okay, I just realized that. I hadn't thought about it, but except for maybe in the Mexican War. That would be the only ones I could think of, okay, in 1846, all right? Everything else. All right, occurred on the East Coast. And people, I'm used to it. I grew up near Valley Forge. I grew up in Pennsylvania near Gettysburg as well.
Exactly.
Okay, so and, people in Virginia and all the southern states of a war was fought. I mean, that makes sense. But if you're out on the West Coast, I never thought about that. Thank you for letting me articulate that. I never thought about it. Yeah.
No, it's the same. I graduated high school in West Virginia. Antietam was literally across the river from me. But when you think about distances, particularly in COVID era where we're not necessarily going places anymore, you think about low-income families who aren't necessarily going to be able to travel across the country see museums, to see the monuments, to see the battlefield. American Battlefield Trust came to us and said, what can we do to begin to really tell the foundations of American history, what's so important, what was fought for on those battlefields.
Yep.
Can we do? And so we created two video series for them in sort of our format, the short 2-minute videos that talk about a particular instance, a particular battle. We have videos on the differences in terms of banking and shipping and all of that, between the North and the South during the Civil War, for instance, and created two series for them, and those series were honored by receiving a Silver Telly, which is an international award that looks at the best in television and media, and film, and we were fortunate. Yep. You've got winners like ESPN, like PBS, yeah. Jennifer Garner won one, and we won one. So
Pat, good
exactly,
company.
Exactly.
And even though I'm a married man, can you fix me up with Jennifer Garner, your new best friend? She's awfully pretty.
I was wondering the same thing. I want to know when we all the award winners get together to share their stories, because I'm game for that.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
And you are living proof that they don't just give out this award for looks. No offense, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go. Right. There you go. No, she's adorable. She really is. And by the way, I know somebody who met her one time, literally in a casual experience, and she's a very, very nice person. I just want to say that. Okay? Just by coincidence, I know somebody. Okay? That's really cool. Congratulations on that. So, and good news and cool. We can talk about the Battlefield Trust if you want, but I want you to focus. What do you have going on right now for educators? This is key. And these are tough times right now to be a social studies teacher or teach social studies and civics. But you have your untoldhistory.org, you have drivingforceinstitute.org. Okay, tell us what's going on out there. How many students now look at it? How many teachers are using it? Just give us a skinny on it. Go ahead, Pat.
We are incredibly fortunate, and I am so thankful for all the educators across the country that have seen the value. And what we do is we're creating short, provocative films about American history,
Pat?
Conversations, and jumpstart critical thinking.
Good. Cool. You got cut off in the middle of that.
Say that again.
Yeah.
So we are so grateful for all of the educators that have been using Untold History to have conversations, to start critical thinking processes in their classroom,
right,
using our short provocative videos to do that. And, by the numbers that we're seeing now, we're looking at about 50,000 teachers across the country that are currently using our video. We're reaching a couple million, about 2 million students a year.
Wow, that's fantastic.
I think part of it obviously is driven by COVID, because we have now, I think, more people are embracing
right.
the notion that you can use more than a textbook. But, you also see that you have districts that can't necessarily continue to buy and update textbooks, and we're able to create content that is relatively new. When things happened on January 6th, we're able, within a few months to create a video on what the 25th Amendment really is and how that can be used and how it's been used in history. Part of what we're doing now, though, is I'm so incredibly thankful, because the direction we've taken with Driving Force is due to the feedback, the early feedback, the early comments we got from teachers as they were looking at what we were doing and, quite frankly, course corrected me. Originally, we were thinking this is going to be something we provide to students, to high schoolers, that they can use on their own. Hopefully they're going to find history interesting and they're going to go down rabbit holes. And, talking with students, very quickly realized that while that may be true, they're never going to share on social media, hey, guess what was this great social studies video I saw? But we're also talking to teachers, and they were explaining to me that they want to use video. They are using video.
They do.
And they're using it far more beyond than Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah.
Their struggle was finding good video.
Yeah.
Relevant video, video that was going to connect with students. And so, you know, you would often have, you know, folks would say, oh, just take a Ken Burns video and cut it up. Well, that's not going to work today. And I, after hearing, I was doing focus groups with teachers across, I kept hearing again and again, trying to video edit so that they can take drunken history videos and cut out the liquor and cut out the language so they have something to show in their class.
Right.
So that was the impetus for how, why we are where we are. And so as we're looking forward, you know, well, you know, one of
you're
the
cutting
great
out, you're cutting out
always,
every so often. Every so often you're cutting out for some reason. Are you moving around? Are you moving around?
No, I'm sitting in my office. I'm
okay,
here.
Good. Sit there. You were cutting out.
So,
yeah.
Okay, what, you know, one of the things that we keep getting asked a lot, and I get asked this by state legislatures, I get asked this by parents, I get asked this by teachers, and that is, why does teaching history matter today? Because we know that for too many students, they just think it's boring and irrelevant. And so that has led us to what is our new initiative, which is, you know, we are now putting out a national call for teachers to share short essays with us, 500
yeah,
to 1,000
words. Is this what you're saying? You wrote me that there's a new teacher voice project. Is that what you're referring to?
It is indeed. It is indeed. We're asking teachers, you know, explain to us when you have a student that is asking you, why do I have to take this? Why does this matter? How do you explain that? Why do you believe history is so important for today's 16-year-old to learn? And we want teachers to share their stories with us. We're going to be putting together a book that we're going to be publishing in early 2023.
Nice.
And we are, you know, and we're going to pay every teacher whose essay is published is going to get a check. They're going to get paid for their work. We're not asking anybody to work for free.
And how do they sign up to do this?
All they have to do is they just have to send their submissions to teachinghistory@drivingforceinstitute.org. They send their essay. We will go through it. We will follow up with them, let them know what we're doing with it, let them know if we need to make any changes. But, you know, really excited to see we've gotten some great early submissions and are excited to see what comes in the next few months.
teachinghistory@drivingforceinstitute.org, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm gonna type that in as we go here. Here's my speed of my one finger typing. You ready? teachinghistory@drivingforceinstitute.org. Got it here. Okay.
Wonderful.
We're saved. I got it on the show description. All right. So we're in good
Perfect.
Shape here. All right. And I'll get that there, Pat. Is there a charge, okay, for anything that you do? Teachers need to know that, if there is one.
There is not. And that was
I wanted to make sure you'd say
that. When I launched Driving Force Institute, I mean, you see far too many, you know, non-profit or for-profits rather that are, you know, trying to make a quick buck and trying to, you know, take advantage of some of the challenges the teachers have in the classroom. We created Driving Force as a nonprofit and did so with the promise everything we provide to teachers and students here in the United States would be provided free of charge.
That's excellent.
that is what you see. Every video that you find on YouTube, every video you find on our untoldhistory.org website, those are all available for free. The teacher guides that we've created, we can also provide you for free. All you have to do is ask them for us.
That's great. Again, everybody, drivingforceinstitute.org. Are you going to go to the NCSS, National Council of Social Studies Conference in Philadelphia in December? Are you planning on that?
I am. It's one of those. I'm right now, I'm a little weary from conferences, I have to be honest. I just finished speaking at the Education Writers Association, which is a tremendous conference that I'm lucky enough to serve on their advisory board. We haven't met in 3 years in person,
yep.
And so I was able to do that. I just flew back about midnight last night from Orlando.
Oh, wow.
On Monday,
wow.
I get the good fortune on Monday of speaking to the White House Historical Association's Educators Conference.
That's fantastic.
And then we've got History Camp coming up in Boston in mid-August. So Yes.
When?
NCSS
when?
Is one of those. Saturday the 12th, I think. That Saturday in August is in Boston.
I think Friday is the 12th. It might be August 13th.
Okay. Saturday the 13th.
Okay. If it's Saturday, it's August 13th.
Definitely Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah,
Saturday,
no,
August 13th.
NCSS is a great event. You know, NCSS is one of those great events. And, you know, it's it is enormously helpful to us as we continue to build this out. We continue to look for new avenues in terms of what Driving Force can do. It becomes just useful for us to continue to connect with those educators who are using it. And so in addition to the one-on-one and the outreach we use, going to places like NCSS is so important.
Well, I think I'm going to be at NCSS, so you and I are finally going to meet, my friend. Okay.
Sounds good.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to be there. Yeah. Until we meet, I look just like Brad Pitt. Put that picture in your head.
Got it.
Okay. There you go. No problem. This is all really, really terrific what you do. You have another thing going, and this is key, and I wonder, this is all part and parcel of the same thing as the Untold History. Okay, what's doing with that?
So there, you know, we've had some wonderful series. And when you look at, you know, we work with great organizations, and it's one of those, I think, anybody who works in education, anybody who works in nonprofits, you know, recognizes that you are a fool if you think you can do it yourself, if you think you can do everything by yourself. And when we set out to begin to produce these videos, we decided that we were going to make sure that we are partnering with organizations to do so. That's how that relationship with American Battlefield Trust came out. You know, back in the fall, we released a great series that we did with the Smithsonian Museum of American History. On a new exhibit they were having on the role of girls in American history, and how could they create video around that content? Again, for you know, it's a wonderful video. If you're in exhibit rather, you're in Washington D.C., you come to the museum, you see it. But there are millions of people who would love to see it but can't come to D.C. And so we helped, you know, created a video series for them that helps tell those stories. You know, we've been incredibly fortunate from the very beginning to work with New York Historical Society, and largely looking at two pieces with them. You know, one is on the role of women in American history, you know, have really the Women in the American Story series that we've done with them is really a powerful piece that we're proud of. We've also worked with them to build their video content on their Academy of American Democracy. That really looks at some of the founding issues and how to teach that in a way that learners are going to be engaged. We are now doing a new piece. We piloted last year. Again, this is why our educators are so important. You know, it's one thing for us to decide, you know, these are the titles. Even to sit down with our partners and say, these are the titles we're going to produce. Last year, we did a contest with public school students in California. And we asked them to produce a video on what they thought was an important historical moment that is never told in the classroom. And the creativity, not the technicals, I mean, the technical stuff was great, but the creativity in terms of the content and how they told the stories were wonderful. And the winner was actually one on the history of the surfboard. And we took their video and we produced it ourselves. We're now doing a series with New York Historical, where they have been working with students across New York City on identifying some of the, you know, the same question, you know, who are the people, the artifacts, the moments in American history that you think are so important, but nobody teaches you. And we're now starting to produce a series that will address all of those. So this is going to be student-driven content.
Give an example. So important, but nobody teaches it. Like what?
Well, I think, you know, what you see, yeah, I don't want to give it away because
give one away. I'll talk you into it. Give one away. Yeah, one. Just go into it a little.
Sure. I give you an example of one like it that we just did for White House Historical Association. So you have everybody has heard the story of Sally Hemings and Thomas Jefferson. I would hope that people know about that relationship.
Yeah.
We have a video on Sally Hemings' son, who Thomas Jefferson actually brought with him to France, helped train him to be
that's
a world-renowned chef.
That's James Hemings. And he did train him to be. He came over and he did. He sent him when he won. He was his servant and confidant when he wasn't going to cooking school. That's amazing.
And then was the White House chef when Jefferson was president? He was the White House chef.
I
mean, can you imagine? 1803, you had an African-American White House chef, a slave, who was running the White House kitchen. Those are the sorts of stories, particularly when you look at, you look at young people today. All I hear is that the way we teach history, all you're doing is telling us about dead white male landowners. There's nothing about somebody who looks like me who comes from my background.
That's right.
And it's those sorts of stories that we're looking to capture.
Yeah, and he did become an expert in French cooking and all that sort of stuff. I'll just pass something on to you by coincidence, just by coincidence, literally. You probably read it. I'm reading a book by the historian Joseph Ellis called American Sphinx. Have you read that one?
I have not.
Oh, please. It's wonderfully written, and it's the character of Thomas Jefferson. Mm-hmm. Okay, and a man of real contradictions is all I can tell you. Okay, a man who hated slavery but kept slaves. Go figure him out. Yep. Okay, he was able to compartmentalize so that he missed the irony of his own writing. Okay, it's an amazing character. Okay, and there's a whole part about James Hemings. That's how I was so intelligent this week and knew that.
Absolutely.
That's funny you would mention
I'm glad
it.
To hear it. Yeah,
yeah. American Sphinx, you'll love it.
Like that.
Yeah,
I mean, the contradictions in Jefferson. I mean, somebody
are unbelievable.
Mr. Jefferson's university, so I get that. But we just finished a video about Frederick Douglass's son, which hopefully everybody's going to know who Frederick Douglass is. But his son was an incredibly accomplished musician, was a violinist.
I didn't know that.
Who ended up and really had to was a pioneering musician. Before, we talk about the Green Book and what musicians had to do what black musicians had to do when they were traveling south. Dealt with a lot of those struggles before we did and had to embody the lessons of his father in a way that were different. Those are the sorts of stories that, again, that you don't necessarily see in a textbook, but all of a sudden it goes, aha.
And they make a difference. They make a difference for a lot of students, for every student, because they put everyone into the stream of American history. Everybody gets their feet wet, okay? And that we've been ignoring that, and that makes all the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. It really does. It's so important when we talk about this stuff. It's important for everybody, okay? I'm so glad you're doing it.
Yeah, and we've been going through, Larry, to make sure that, we have, all the time periods represented. We're making sure that every state is having their voice heard. And, it's one of those that, for those who worked in Washington, D.C. over the last 25, 30 years, the name Judy Heumann is one that most people have heard of. She was a terrific advocate, worked in the Clinton administration on civil rights issues for those with disabilities within the Department of Education. She was an ambassador for President Obama on the same sorts of issues. Again, when you start telling some of these stories, you might know, it's a politician. But when you really get at Judy's background and you realize, she from a very young age, she was in a wheelchair. The city of New York wanted to keep her from coming to public school because they said she was going to be a fire hazard. Then when she finally got her teaching certificate, New York City Public Schools again said she couldn't teach because she would be a fire hazard.
Fire hazard.
And she went on. We would not have the disability laws in this country were it not for Judy Heumann and everything she did as an advocate in the 60s and 70s and 80s to make that happen. And so it's that sort of story that can also be inspirational.
And where they tap into Untold History at untoldhistory.org, right?
Yep. Every video that is public is listed there now, untoldhistory.org.
Okay. I'm telling you, Pat, you're going to heaven. You do good stuff. And, it brings up an interesting point. It's very hard these days to find teachers, and it's hard to keep teachers teaching in the classroom. Teacher retention is a big challenge these days. And one of the reasons, especially if I may, in social studies, is because there's so much controversy that politicalization of education. People screaming at each other at school board meetings and all this sort of stuff, right versus left, okay? Politically, of course, not correct versus left, but right versus left, et cetera. The latest in politics has made it very difficult to not only teach, but to especially teach American history and civics. And just take that comment and run with your thoughts on how Driving Force Institute and UntoldHistory.org, they make it easier for teachers, okay? And this is key stuff. So just talk about, put yourself in today's context of teaching.
Sure. Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think it is challenging if one wants to teach in this era. And I think it's one of those things that if you are a social studies teacher, you could continue to teach, say, the American Revolution the way that we've always taught it and ignore everything that is going around you. Or you can try to figure out how do you connect those current events? How do you connect the issues that hopefully the learners are caring about to what is happening there? And I think the key to that really is, and I'm a strong believer in this, is you can't shy away from it. I don't think you teach current events. You don't teach the crisis. But you have to teach the relevance around it. You have to demonstrate, particularly for students that are looking to figure out how what they're learning in the classroom connects with what's happening in their community. How do you do that? It's one of those things. Even if you look at, and I know teachers struggled with what do they do about January 6th, for instance, immediately after. Is it too hot an issue? Do you risk parents coming in and complaining? And you can teach it in such a way. As I said, you can teach it in terms of understanding what the 25th Amendment was and how it's being used. You can teach it in terms of, the burning of the White House during the War of 1812. You can teach it in terms of Puerto Rican terrorists taking the floor of Congress in the 50s.
1950 or 1948, whenever that was terrible.
But you're equipping learners, because ultimately, and I think this is the challenge we have. This is not about, are we teaching 1776 or are we teaching CRT and 1619 in our classrooms? That's not what the debate is. Social studies, the effective teaching of American history is not teaching students to memorize facts and figures and dates.
That's right.
Ultimately, we are looking to ensure that all of our learners are able to think critically. They're able to ask questions. They're able to probe. They're able to go deep. They're able to push when they feel they're not getting a sufficient answer. That's what makes history so wonderful, because there's so much to it. I can go one way and you can give me three examples that should take me a different way.
That's
and
exactly
we need to
right.
leave it to the individual to come to their own conclusions. And I think that's what we are trying to do, is making sure that teachers have tools that empower them in the classroom. I always love telling the story, because one of my favorite videos is one that no teacher will touch in the classroom.
Yeah.
What
is it?
We did a video. We had years ago, when we first started off Driving Force, we were asked, what can we do to explain states' rights? Our kids don't understand the 10th Amendment. And so one of my favorite videos is I have a 10th Amendment video that's about hot boxing. It's about marijuana laws. I think it's a great video. Every educator that's seen it says it's a great video. None of them will use it in the classroom. But the great irony is, we just did this wonderful series on history in Kentucky that we worked with Kentucky Valley Educational Cooperative to produce.
They were good. I was just on the phone with some old good friends of mine from there just yesterday.
Yeah, and what's funny is, no teacher in the world will touch marijuana as an explanation of the 10th Amendment. But we worked with Kentucky teachers to create a great video on the history of Kentucky whiskey. And that's not a problem to put in the classroom.
Yeah, that's great. That is great. Okay, and I'll tell you that's still going on these days with abortion. okay? A tough subject to talk about, okay? I agree with everybody on that. It's tough to talk about. But that's exactly what's happening right now, okay? And it's really an interesting time to be teaching it. You know, Pat, how did you, as you look at stuff and manage all this, retain a balance between, I'm just going to say, between conservative and liberal? You want to kind of be in the middle, okay? You don't want to insult anybody or hurt anybody or anything like that, okay? How do you retain a balance, you and your company, Diving Force?
I think it's a great question, Larry, and it's one that I struggle with every day. I want to make sure it's very hard. I mean, as I said, when I was at the EWA conference this week, you know, we did a workshop yesterday with reporters as they're talking about, you know, how do you talk about issues in a polarizing world. And so you're talking with reporters about how they're dealing with issues like race and CRT, how they're dealing with issues like guns, like LGBTQIA issues and those sorts. And so, you know, for us, you know, one of the first things we do is, you know, we have a giant mapping exercise. Every video that we do, every title we're thinking about, you know, understanding just where it fits in terms of, you know, what type of video is it, you know, what's the geography, what's the time period, just to make sure those pieces are covered. But that really doesn't get to your question. I think at the end of the day, if you try to ensure that every video that's produced is that middle of the road, not offending anybody, you'll fail at this task. This learning task is not going to be accomplished. And the way we do it is making sure that, you know, for every title that somebody might say is to the left, we also have a title that's going to be to the right. And you know, it's not intentional, but it's really recognizing that, you know, there are different stories we have to tell. There are different needs that educators have. But it's also, you know, at the same time, it's one of those things that I think sometimes we look for those political labels where they don't have to be. And I say that in that, you know, we're now creating video content in the state of Florida around their new social studies standards. Right after you and I finish up, I've got to review the script that we have for the video on Daniel Webster, which is one of the learning standards in Florida. Daniel Webster is not right or left. Daniel Webster is not red or blue. People might want to ascribe that because it's part of curricular standards that are coming out of Florida. But that's not the way we approach it. You know, what we do is, you know, we're really trying to tell, you know, the part of the story that folks are not going to know. And that means, you know, you're going to find what you want to find. And, you know, I'm one of those that believes, you know, particularly in education, that, you know, if you don't have half the people angry with you about something you've done, that means you're not pushing hard enough.
That's right. And when you present this stuff, people are welcome to a different point of view. That's the whole point, okay? Okay, we're not indoctrinators, all right? We're presenters.
We're not indoctrinators.
And you're entitled
you don't have
to a different
to
point of view.
You have to use everything.
Yeah,
you do.
By the way, was it Daniel Webster? Was it Daniel Webster who said, "I'd rather be right than president"? Was that him?
Yes. Yes, it was.
I had a college professor who said that he quoted Daniel Webster, and "I'd rather be right than president." And then the professor said, and by the way, he was right and not president. What can I tell you? And, of course, New Hampshire guy, okay, where my kids grew up, okay? It's amazing. Pat, you're doing such good work. I want to continue this. It's been too long since you've been on the show, okay? And I want to do another one come October and get you back on and keep teachers right up to date with all the stuff you're doing. Is that okay?
I look forward to it. I appreciate it, Larry. Thank you.
Well, I love having you on. You know that. You're an old good friend of ours. And like I said, it's been too long, okay? And we're going to get it back together and working on it. Because, you know, you're talking to the old social studies teacher here, all right? I just think it's real important what's going on, okay? So, Pat, you the man. What can I tell you? You're the guy, okay?
Thank you,
Larry. And I got to tell everybody, a Telly Award for Driving Force Institute for their partnership with the American Battlefield Trust. By the way, if you want, bring them on with you next time. That'd be fun. I love having them on.
I think they would love that. I appreciate that.
I would love it. I love it. And also my good friends over at AASL said that the Driving Force Institute is one of the best digital tools out there for teaching and learning. And Pat's running it, and it's just great stuff. So please, everybody, drivingforceinstitute.org. Pat, you take care. Just keep that air conditioner running down there. And it landed a swamp fox,
yes, sir.
Francis Marion. Okay? Pat's moved from New Jersey to South Carolina, which is very cool. South Carolina is a cool state. The rebellion state. People think it's up here in Boston. It's really down in South Carolina, okay, during the revolution. They were just on the cutting edge of revolution from the beginning. And Francis Marion and the fox and the swamp fox. So, Pat, I want you to put on your revolutionary hat and go charging through the swamps one day. Okay?
You got it, Larry.
Okay, buddy. You take care. Enjoy the rest of the summer down there and keep that air conditioner on, all right?
Yes, sir. Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, pal. Okay, Pat Rickards, everybody, drivingforceinstitute.org and untoldhistory.org. Pat does great stuff, okay? I'm just glad to get him back on the show. We'll do more. I'll send him today. We'll get him on in early October so we can keep all you social studies teachers and everybody teaching any kind of social study. This is great stuff, and again, it's all free. There's no such thing as an under-resourced school if you tap into all the free stuff that's out there, so please do that. All right. We'll archive at ace-ed.org, and if you go over there, all right, you'll be able to see everything we do. We have an icon for everything. My name's Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.